Greetings from the Bronx. This is Dr. Ronald Wharton. I am a cardiologist at Montefiore Medical Center at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, and I am sharing a case which I thought you would enjoy. I call it, Why Is There Dyspnea? Start with the Doppler. So this is a patient who's admitted because of shortness of breath, and they have a history of rheumatic heart disease. As you will see in the echoes, they have mechanical mitral and aortic prostheses. In the next image, you can see that there is an M mode through the aortic valve. Now, you may look at this M mode and say, well, gee, this doesn't really show me much of anything, so why look at it? Well, the only thing the M mode shows you is the rise and fall of the aorta through the cardiac cycle. And just keep an eye on that. We'll come back to that. In the next slide, you see a parasternal long axis. There is a, you can see the mechanical and prostheses, both of the mitral and the aortic positions. The LV systolic function, I would consider probably the lower limit of normal. In the next slide, you see an apical four-chamber view. You'll notice that the RV and RA are normal in size. There is a pacemaker wire on the right side of the heart. You can see the mechanical mitral prosthesis opening and closing nicely. And again, the LV systolic function, I would consider, again, at the lower limit of normal, maybe EF of 55, just eyeballing it. In the next slide, you see a pulse Doppler through the mechanical mitral prosthesis. You can see the peak E velocity on this is about 1.8 meters per second, the A velocity about 1.1 meter per second. There's a fairly steep deceleration time of the E wave. You can see the same area being interrogated with continuous wave Doppler, where you have somewhat similar findings. I am showing you a continuous wave Doppler in the short axis around the aortic valve level, and this is a TR signal with a peak velocity of slightly more than 4 meters per second, so you can see that there's considerable pulmonary hypertension here. 4 times 4 squared is 64 millimeters of mercury, and even if the right atrial pressure is only roughly 5, you've got a PA systolic pressure of close to 70 millimeters of mercury consistent with severe pulmonary hypertension. In the next slide, there is a continuous wave Doppler through the aortic valve. And look at this carefully. You can see the peak velocity here through the aortic valve prosthesis is about 2 meters per second. There is no aortic regurgitation signal. And there are a lot of valve clicks, which I want you to look at closely for a second because we're going to come back to those. You can see the opening and closing of the mechanical aortic and the mechanical mitral valve because of the location of the continuous wave Doppler going through both the aortic prosthesis and the, I guess, quote-unquote, anterior prosthesis on the, of the mitral valve. So let's sort of summarize everything we've seen. We had the M mode of the aortic valve, and you notice that the in the M mode of the aortic valve, the aorta was going up and down a lot. That's usually very good because that means that the end diastolic and end systolic volumes of the left atrium are considerably different, or put another way, there's a considerable stroke volume through the left atrium. Since the left atrial size changes so much between its own end diastole and end systole, the aorta is bouncing up and down, and this is frequently a sign of good health in your average everyday echocardiogram. The mitral inflow velocity was slightly more than 2 meters per second. That's a little on the high side, but the deceleration time of the E wave was steep. It was a short deceleration time, probably in the vicinity of about 160 milliseconds or so. Certainly, it was not prolonged. The continuous wave Doppler through the mitral valve did not demonstrate any mitral regurgitation signal. The peak velocity of the mitral E wave was within normal limits. The TR jet, however, demonstrates significant pulmonary hypertension. Can we explain this based on the information that we already have? Well, let's take another look at the continuous wave Doppler that I already showed you through the aortic valve in the next slide. Now, again, you don't see any aortic insufficiency here. The velocity through the aortic valve prosthesis of about 2 meters per second is normal. But look at the valve clicks. And again, the valve clicks come when the mitral and aortic valves open and when they close. If you look at any QRS complex, immediately after the QRS complex is, first click means that the mitral valve has closed. Then you have the isovolumic contraction. contraction period, and then the aortic valve click, demonstrating the aortic valve opening, followed by the ejection period, during which you have the continuous wave Doppler signal through the LVOT and the aorta. Now let's look at the next two clicks. Those are the isovolumic, the clicks that respond, correspond rather to isovolumic relaxation, where you have first the closure of the aortic valve followed by the opening of the mitral valve. Look at the distance between the two clicks at isovolumic contraction, and look at the distance between the two clicks during isovolumic relaxation. Do you notice that the two clicks during isovolumic relaxation are virtually superimposable? You really can't distinguish them. They're so packed right on top of each other. That means that the isovolumic relaxation period has to be short. And if you have a short IVRT, isovolumic relaxation period or isovolumic relaxation time, you have to have, in this case, a high left atrial pressure. It's not because the LV is a superb diastolic machine. This is a patient with a large left atrium and a mechanical prosthesis. So inherently, the left atrial pressure has to be a little higher than it would be in otherwise, because when you put a mechanical valve in or any other valve, you have some inherent mitral stenosis. But here, the IVRT is so short that the LA pressure must be very high. And in the next slide, let's compare the flows in the LVOT and the mitral valve. So here is now a pulse wave Doppler through the LVOT. The time velocity integral calculates to 11.1 centimeters. That's just the integral of the tracing that you see there. And in the next slide, here is a continuous wave Doppler through the mitral valve. Again, this is just at a higher sweep speed. And the TVI through the mitral valve during diastole is 53.1 centimeters. Now, there happens to be some data on these things. If you look again at the next slide, the TVIs of the mitral inflow and the LVOT are respectively 53.1 and 11.1 centimeters. The ratio of those two is 4.78. The mitral e-velocity in this, on continuous wave Doppler was about 2.1. On the pulse wave was about 1.9. The deceleration time in this e-velocity was short. Again, it was steep because, again, the isovolumic relaxation period is short, and therefore the e-wave deceleration time has to be short as well, because those two parameters, the IVRT and deceleration time, always parallel each other. And we also know that the LA volume is going up and down a lot because the aorta is bouncing up and down on the M mode. So what's normal? Well, this was actually studied, the parameters by which you can infer normal valve function in a situation where you have a mitral prosthesis as follows. The TVI ratio of the mitral valve to the LVOT should be less than 2.2. The e-velocity should be less than 1.9. And the pressure half-time of the e-wave under normal conditions should be less than 130 milliseconds. Now, in this case, we have a very high TVI ratio. The pressure half-time is relatively short. I didn't actually measure it here, but it looks pretty short. And the e-velocity is on the high side. It's about 2.2, I think, is what I said. So the data in this case suggests there's significant mitral regurgitation, even though we saw no MR at all in the continuous wave Doppler. I provided you, by the way, the reference for these parameters. This is from an article that was published in the Journal of the American Society of Echocardiography now 12 years ago. You can look at that if you wish to do so. I'm telling you from all of these images that there's a lot of MR. Why did we not see it on the Doppler signal? Very simple. It's paravalvular, but you have to look for it. In the parasternal long axis, which I'm showing you in the next image, you really don't see it at all. You see a turbulent jet going through the mitral valve during diastole, headed towards the interventricular septum, as is standard. All prosthetic valves direct blood towards the septum instead of the apex. But in the next slide, you can see in the apical four-chamber view the MR jet, which is paravalvular, and coming very close to where the aortic valve is. And on the next slide, I'm even showing you that as a zoom image with the 2D image next to it, just to compare it so you can see exactly where this is. So when you see an MR jet that looks like that, combined with a TR jet of 4 meters per second, you can assume that those two are very, very much related, and that the pulmonary hypertension is due to very significant, likely severe paravalvular mitral regurgitation. And you can make that inference all from just looking at a couple of Doppler signals and an M-mode. This is Ronald Wharton from Bronx, New York, for theheart.org at Medscape Cardiology, and I hope you enjoyed this. Thank you for listening.